Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
You know, there are some people, if it's hot, it's too hot. If it's cold, it's too cold. You know, if it's fluffy, it's too fluffy. If it's nice, it's too nice. You know, it's like, it's always negative. It's always critical. It's never good. Well, suffering can equip you to have the right response to life. It gives you the opportunity, because when people know what you're going through and they go, I didn't know that. That ministers far more than you will ever know. So it's an opportunity.
What is your first response when you endure suffering? Do you tend to participate in self-pity, asking, why me, Lord? It's natural to ask why and question when things aren't going right. Today, Pastor Troy offers a different response when you go through hardships. Choose to see them as an opportunity. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, that has new meaning when you've endured pain in your life. Your suffering can be the catalyst for someone learning about Jesus. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 9 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So if there's a loving, that doesn't look loving, all-powerful God, why does He allow evil and suffering in the world? And what makes it worse is when it's someone who seems innocent, right? Everyone, I think, struggles with this at some point in their life. This question comes up and there's no answer for it. And everyone goes, why? Why don't you just fix it? Why don't you just take it away? Why does it exist? I mean, it'd be one thing if it was only the bad guys, right? Only the bad guys got sick. Only the bad guys got this. Everything stuck to them, and we just lived life. It's wonderful to be with the Lord. But then there would be a different motivation for coming to the Lord. So there's that question. Why? It still lingers. And suffering provokes questions. But suffering provokes deep questions. Deeper than we would have if there were no suffering. Suffering provokes questions like, what is life about? Is there a sense of justice in this world? You see someone suffering, it seems unjustly. You go, there's got to be justice. How can this be good? How can this be fair? How can this be right? And so there's this need for justice and this desire for it. Where is all of this going? I mean, is this all life has? Or if the absence of suffering in this life is not God's priority, then what is? You see the kind of deep questions that arise from the existence of suffering in the world, unbiased suffering in the world. In Psalm 73, the psalmist gets a little insight. The psalmist speaks about the unfairness of life, the prosperity of the wicked, while some of God's own people suffer and struggle. And then he says, Psalm 73, 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Scripture says, what does it profit a man if he gets his own way, if he gets everything that he wants, he escapes many sufferings and maybe even consequences, lives high on the hog, and yet loses his own soul? What does it profit that man? You lose everything. Suffering provokes questions, deep questions. And look at verse 2 again. And his disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. A second possible purpose for these sufferings is suffering defies explanations. You can't explain yourself out of them. You can't explain them away. You can't figure out God or his purposes. The disciples try to explain why this man is in his condition. They say it must be deserved, right? It must be earned. Sin, certainly sin has caused this man to suffer, whether it was directly his or indirectly by his parents. Something happened. Somebody did something wrong, right? You see, the Jews believed and they taught that suffering was a result of sin. And a direct result of sin. It was linked, whether it was the parents or the person themselves, but it was like karma. You know, karma. You do something bad's going to happen, and God's going to make sure it happens. But that's not the way it works. They had a belief system that you could even sin in the womb, which is why the question is asked. He was blind from birth. Sounds like a foolish question. How could he have sinned if he was born blind? But they believed, and their explanation for this was, if someone's born blind, then they have a false assumption. The false assumption that they're holding on to that gives them a false answer is, the false assumption is, suffering is the result of someone's sin, directly. And so if a child is born blind, then they must be able to sin even in the womb. And they, you know how the child will kick in the womb? They saw that as a definite sign of, see, our rebelliousness starts even in the womb. Look at him. Get me out of here. They didn't have ultrasounds and all of these things now. This was just the way they could figure things out. So they have these belief systems which give them false solutions and answers to life's problems. So it was a pretty hard blow for parents who had a children born blind, right? Not knowing that it was some bacteria the mother carried that could have been easily taken care of with some antibacteria salve. They didn't know that. They didn't see that. They didn't understand it. So from their perspective, think about the parent side. My child, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that while I was pregnant. Maybe, man, my child is blind because of me. I did something. There could have been self-condemnation, or even worse, I think, is to think, man, my child is accursed by God. God doesn't love my child. Look what he did to him. That'd be horrible to think that, and that's not true at all. Sin has messed everything up, including the gene pool. And so there's suffering in the world, but suffering defies explanations. Sometimes suffering is the direct result of sin and foolish choices. Obviously, that happens. You think about a parent who takes drugs, gets addicted, and then has a child. And that child is born with an addiction to those drugs. This happens all the time. Or a man gets in a car. He's been drunk. And he goes driving, and though he doesn't die, he kills someone else in a car accident. That's a direct result of sin in someone's life, and it affected someone else. Or consider the man or woman who goes off and in their own room with doors locked, and he grooms evil and wickedness in his heart. At some point, that heart will explode into action. And when that happens, someone will experience the consequences of what that man poured in his own heart. Some unwilling and innocent person. So that's the direct result of sin in someone's life, how it affects themselves or it affects others. That happens in this fallen world because people are sinners. But you can't always tie suffering to personal sin. When someone is sick and something's happened to them, you can't go, well, my sin must have brought this upon me. Think about Job. I mean, God said of Job, there's no one like him. Job is solid. I mean, if there's anyone you're going to test, test him. Think, oh, Lord, I don't want to be that good. <You know? laughs> I got to have a little sin in my life because no one wants to be Job. No, that's not true. We only need one Job. No more Bibles are going to be written. You're not going to be in the Bible, so don't worry about it. But Job was righteous. Job's suffering had nothing to do with his sin, but that's not what his friends thought. His friends came, well, Job, there's got to be some unconfessed sin in your life. We're absolutely positive because this is happening to you. This wouldn't be happening to you if there wasn't some sin in your life. But that wasn't it. Man, miserable comforters, weren't they? That's what Job even says. Miserable comforters all year. All. Even his wife said, well, if this is your God, just curse God and die. Thank you, honey. So encouraging. So glad you're my wife. But Job lost pretty much everything. His friends weren't the greatest comforters. His wife couldn't be there for him. But he understood God is in control. God is good. And though he slay me, I'll still trust him. No matter what he wants to do. Sometimes things just happen. And it's not God judging you or punishing you. My dad once went to a guy, a friend of mine actually, who was in Albuquerque and now is a pastor of his own church. But for me, he'll always be my worship leader. And so my dad was going to him and talking to him. And one week he missed church and he didn't feel like he had done his devotions and certain things that week. So the following week he gets back to church and is broken before Al and talked to him. He says, do you think God was judging me? You know, gave me a flat tire to judge me, you know, to punish me or something. And Al was like, Lonnie, you're seeking the Lord. You're growing in the Lord. You missed a devotion. Sometimes your car runs over a nail and you get a flat. It's that simple. We're in a fallen world. And sometimes things just happen in this fallen world. Don't blame everything on your sin. You could have done this. God must be showing. What's God teaching me? What's God this? The important thing is how you respond to it, not what causes it. How are you going to respond to it?
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way, you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
So Jesus answers their philosophical questions, saying, verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. In other words, his sin is not the point. Sin, do it. What? That's not the point. What the point is God's purpose, God's plan. God has a plan. And for whatever reason, this fits into God's plan. The man's life, the way that it is, who he is, the limitations that he has, it fits into God's plan and is going to reveal his glory. Now, in this man's case, he just happens to live at a time when the Messiah is going to be walking the earth, doing signs, miraculous signs, and he's going to be the beneficiary of one of those signs proving that Jesus is the Messiah, is the living God, the Son of God. So, Jesus, for you, he may allow suffering in your life because God has a purpose for it in and through your life. Now, let me give you some possibilities. First, suffering can equip you to minister to others in this fallen world. Suffering can equip you to minister to others. Suffering opens the door that will often cause people to be willing to listen to you. You've been there, or you are there. How do you have so much joy? Well, let me tell you, you have that going on in your life? Yes, I would have never known it. And so they can see in your life, you mean I can be happy? You mean I can be whole? You mean I can have a ministry and a mission and a purpose? I didn't know that. And your life shines a light on them that gives them hope. So suffering can equip you to minister in this fallen world. I talked to someone who was concerned about the aches and the pains that they're in all the time, but they continue to serve the Lord. They said, yeah, I know the Lord uses it, but I don't know how. It's easy how. Because you persevere through it, and there are so many people who use it as an excuse not to. There's that scripture that says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You, when you share that scripture, it'll mean something. But the person who uses everything as an excuse, I can't. That person can never stand up and say, well, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because no one will believe them. No one will listen. They lose the right to share that scripture because they don't believe it themselves. They don't live it. But you, when you persevere and people go, wow, you're in pain. I've known so many like that. And I've brought her name up before. I think so many live in pain when God has so much more for them. They think they can't do anything. Lorraine is the woman I was mentioning. She was terminal like her whole life, it seemed like. And yet, if you didn't know that about her, you would have never known. She didn't talk about her pain. She didn't talk about her aches. She didn't, there are some people, if it's hot, it's too hot. If it's cold, it's too cold. If it's fluffy, it's too fluffy. If it's nice, it's too nice. It's like, it's always negative. It's always critical. It's never good. Well, suffering can equip you to have the right response to life. It gives you the opportunity because when people know what you're going through and they go, I didn't know that, that ministers far more than you will ever know. So it's an opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. So you find your comfort in the Lord, but they're not there yet. They don't know how to. They don't know that they can. And then they see in you, they find in you someone, you've got comfort I know nothing about. Because you take away all my excuses for all the grumbling and complaining that I have. How do you do it? And you become a light. So it equips you to minister in this fallen world. Suffering, second, can strengthen your faith. It can strengthen your faith. I remember spending time with a woman who was dying in our fellowship. And she was on the last weeks of her life. And I spent a lot of time with her at the end of her life, praying with her, worshiping with her. We had communion together. I'll tell you one thing. I ministered to her from her perspective, but she ministered to me more than I ever ministered to her because she was so close to God, unlike anything I could ever have fathomed. She was like right there in her suffering. She could see God. And her worship was deep and it was rich and it was genuine. The small petty things of life didn't mean anything to her. She had a good focus and a right perspective. She was wise. More wise during that time than maybe anyone I've ever known. Because she could see God. Suffering can strengthen your faith, but it can strengthen the faith of others around the person who's suffering too. I don't think I'll ever see certain things the same again, having been around Barb and the way she passed away. My faith has been changed, altered, increased. as a result of that time with her. So it can be a faith-stretching time. And let me say something that I think you need to understand, guys. Please understand this. Faith, our faith, is more important to God, is more valuable to God than your health. The faith in you being built up is more valuable, more important to God than your health, that our faith is built up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, it's so easy to go, do you believe in the Lord? I believe in the Lord. Man, he's awesome. He's blessed me. It's been a wonderful week. Man, this is awesome. God is so good. Oh, it's easy to say I have faith. But when things strike me and challenge me, and I can see in myself, you know what? I do believe in God and I trust him. It shows me that my faith is genuine. It's not just when it's sunny, money's rolling in, but it's even when, though, like Job's faith, which was proven genuine, though things be removed from me, I believe in God. And it builds my faith, and it builds the faith of others. When we can stand there, it challenges the faith of others, actually. When I can stand there, when we can stand there in our suffering and do what 1 Peter says, and be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, suffering can strengthen your faith, which to God is more valuable and more precious. So, suffering isn't necessarily the direct result or consequence of personal sin. God could be using it for purposes that he has, bigger purposes, for his glory and even for your good or the good of those around you. Verse 4. I must work the works of him, Jesus speaking, who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, this is the only time Jesus does his healing this exact way. And people ask, is there a formula in that? I think Jesus purposefully healed different ways, no formula, spit in the mud, you know, how can I be creative right now? So that we wouldn't make a formula of healing. If Jesus was always on this certain mountain at this angle or whatever, or always took mud, spit, and healed people, then we would start doing that. We would take that and try to figure out how to do it ourselves in our own strength with a formula. And so I believe Jesus is just being creative here. He's showing, hey, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to get to work here. Pooh. Okay. Not something I'd want on my eyes, but I'll take it all day if it causes me to go from blind to seeing. You know, Jesus does some things in our lives that are hard, maybe hard to take, but they're the only thing that's going to open our eyes. They're the only things that are going to change this old heart. They're going to help us in life. And we need to trust him.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty
and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have your way in us.